We're going to be reading Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. To begin with, Genesis 12, 1 through 4, will be on the screen along with all the other verses. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you great, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. There's like four different, if you look up on, I thought, Brother Greg pronounces words different, Bible names differently than I did. And I thought, I'm going to start checking online. Well, there's like four or five different pronunciations of Haran. So I'll just go with Haran. You can call it what you want to. Anyway. Last time we considered a prophecy, a promise, a foretelling in Genesis chapter 3, I believe it was. And we're jumping ahead a long ways. I don't know exactly how far ahead we're jumping. If you look at the genealogies in Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 11 and figure out, okay, this person was born, and then this. And you can see that Abram left Haran around 2,021 years after Adam was created. We don't know how old Adam was when he disobeyed God, so we don't know just how long, but it's a lot of years, so we're skipping a lot of time. And I will say, by the way, that I'm going to be jumping over a lot of Bible prophecies. There is so much prophecy in the scripture. And if I skip a particular passage that you're especially interested in and would like my comments on, you can hand me a note. If you've got my email address, you can give me an email address. Don't tell me you want me to, talk about it because I won't remember. I used to have a paper memory. Now I have a digital memory. So, yeah, I'll try to cover anything, whether privately or publicly, anything that I may skip over. I'm going to start today by correcting something that I believe I mistaught during all the years of my time as a pastor. In Genesis 12:1, again, it says, "Now the Lord had said," now that's the way it's translated, "had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." I'm going to give you an English lesson. Some of you got this English lesson when you were in school. Most of you have lived long enough to forget this English lesson if you ever paid attention at all, which I often didn't in class. But in English, the simple past tense would be, "Now the Lord said to Abram." And all that means is, it happened. It happened, at some time. I mean, maybe a minute ago, maybe five, but it just happened, that's all. And the past perfect tense, how many of you remember the past perfect? I got a hand. That's amazing. I'm impressed. Of course, it's Joel. Had to be Joel. The past perfect tense would be, "Now the Lord had said to Abram," indicating that it had happened at some point before the events currently under discussion. Not "the Lord said and this happened," but "the Lord had said at some point." And now, so based on the translation as it stands in the King James or the New King James, I assume that there was some significant amount of time between the Lord speaking to Abram and Abram going ahead and moving out to obey God, acting on his word. The problem with that is really simple. In the Hebrew, there is no past perfect tense. There's just the past tense. And all we know is that God told Abram to get out, and Abram got out. He obeyed the Lord. So I realized that I had no basis to say anything like, well, it was some years, eventually, maybe, when his father died, I don't have any basis to say anything other than the fact that God spoke to Abram, and Abram did what God told him to do. So I stand corrected. Here it is from the English Standard Version, because a lot of translations, good translations, give it this way. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And then verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. So that sounds quite likely to be immediate obedience. So I may have defamed dear brother Abram all down through the years, but we stand corrected. From there I would go to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 and put an emphasis on Abram's obedience of faith, which is what God does. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And here's faith. He went out not knowing where he was going. I guess pretty much everybody knows that Brother Bob and Sister Missy, who spent a few years in South Dakota at the reservation, then spent some time in Paraguay living in one town and then moved to another town, and now they're coming back and they're moving to Arizona to minister there, and it's like, where are they going? Well, they don't really know what's coming next any more than you or I do. I told Marlene and I were talking about it. I said, you know, Paul, he was such an unstable guy. He couldn't stay in any one place for any lengthy period of time. He just kept moving and moving around. Well, when you go out obeying God, very often when he tells us to do something, we go not really knowing where we're going. Some of you know that I'm going back to school. And I won't tell you how the Lord opened that door. I mean, he just opened the door, and I prayed really hard about it to find out if it was his will or if I was just taking advantage of what I wanted to do. And when I'm 80, I'll graduate with a master's degree in education. I can start teaching school, right? I don't know what the Lord's purpose is, but I definitely feel like he led me. So here was Abram, and he was the guy. The Lord spoke to him. And he did what the Lord told him to do. Didn't have a clue where he was going. Why was he willing to do that? God had given to him a word of prophecy and instruction. And when God speaks, it's the right thing. But although it is good to look at the man God chose, the person to whom he spoke this prophetic promise or set of promises, the real issue is found in the prophecy itself, the things that God was announcing. Part of the prophecy has to do or had to do with the earthly blessing and increase that would be given to Abraham and his line of descendants, the earthly blessings God would give, the land that would be theirs, how there would be a lot of descendants, that Abraham's name would eventually be set forth as belonging to a man whom God had made great. He wasn't great by his own efforts or determination. God made him great. The Lord expanded on this somewhat in the next chapter, Genesis 13, verses 14 through 17. And the Lord said to Abram, he hadn't changed his name to Abraham yet, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now, and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Now I'm going to pause and say that Lot had decided the direction he was going. It looked like, okay, that's Lot's part. That's not what God said. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, elsewhere as the sand of the seashore. So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. I think that was a measure of comfort to Abram after Lot had left. Be that as it may, there is an enormous increase prophesied here. Be as the dust of the earth. How many of you have seen photographs or maybe videos of back in the days of the Dust Bowl? And that's a lot of dust. You can't count it. I believe it necessarily, when you consider the amount being talked about, is necessarily talking not just about his natural lineage, but about his spiritual lineage. In Galatians 3:29, speaking to God's people in this day, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So his spiritual lineage far, far outnumber his natural lineage. And we are Abraham's seed. Now, that doesn't mean that we are heirs to all the promises given to Israel. And there are people that insist that the church has replaced Israel. That's not supportable scripturally. But I see the natural promises given to a lineage, naturally speaking, and to a land. They're a part of a needful process by which the revelation of God was going to be opened up and manifested to the human race. Perhaps some of you will recall a verse that I used last time. That's not the verse I'm looking for. I guess that verse that I'm looking for isn't in there. Well, let me see. I'll look again. There it is. "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." God did not just lay the whole body of truth on the human race at once, any more than he will lay on you exactly what is ahead of you as you follow in his will. Any more than he laid on Abraham, "Okay, go out, and I want you to take route such and such, and then turn left when you get the little town up, and then go south another 12 miles. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And God unfolds things little by little. And so it was with the truth. And there was going to be, over a period of time, book after book after book, letter after letter after letter of scripture teaching set forth. In terms of the writing of these scriptures, God purposed and ordained, and so it had to be that there was going to be a people that God used to write these scriptures, and they were all Jews. And there was going to be a place for them to live, and that was the land of promise. And so he purposed that, and he accomplished that. He promised a land, he promised a heritage, he gave it. And over time, the plan, the unfolding of God's counsel, of further prophecies and explanations concerning the coming of salvation through the Messiah, was set forth in Scripture. But I will say that God's promise of that land and other natural promises, earthly promises given to his descendants, that promise and that set of promises has not been vacated. You can't find a place in the Bible where it is vacated. And so don't get the idea. There was a doctrine a while back, British Israel. You ever hear of that? That the lost tribes of Israel, no tribes have been lost, but anyway, the lost tribes were British. They wound up on the British Isles. And so, you know, we as, you know, descendants of the British, we're all, you know, no. There's neither Jew nor Gentile in God's eyes as far as we are concerned. But there will come a time when Israel returns to the land. I'm not getting into that prophecy this morning, but it has been foretold. And that has not yet happened. I know that since Israel established itself, what we call Israel today, established itself as a nation, preachers everywhere have said, "Hey, this is the fulfillment." It's not. When God does that work, and you can, maybe we'll get to those prophecies, maybe that'll be among those that I pass over, but when that happens, it will be done in absolute righteousness. It will be done with the peace of God. It will be done, he will bring peace to them, and it will be a complete work of regathering Israel to the land. And I see none, absolutely none of that in Israel's current situation. None. But the truly long-term aspect of the prophecy in Genesis 12, and I think this is the verse, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the real meat of this prophecy, the long-term, the spiritual, the long-lasting, the widespread. We can sometimes, and it's not a fault, it's something to where you are and you appreciate it and then you grow beyond it and see more, but we can be shallow in our thinking about God's blessing. We can focus on the present watch care and the provision he gives us in this life. And it is good to remember those things. It's good to give thanks for those things. It's good to bear witness, to tell others about these things, healings. The times when you had a special financial need and out of nowhere, in a way you never would have been able to predict, God provides precisely for what you need. The guidance he gives you when you don't know what direction to go, and he opens a door and it's like, all the provision he gives us in this present life, and so much more than I'm talking about. It's good to know those things, recognize them, share them with others, bear testimony. But the blessing the Lord foretold here was much more than that. In Galatians 3, 8 and 9, we read, "And the scripture, foreseeing," there's that element of prophecy, "foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith," and that's a key point, when you remember the promises God gave and you remember the issue of partaking, you remember who God counts as his, faith, "those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." But God didn't say this just once. You know, if God says something once, is it true? Is there authority behind it? Is it something we need to heed? Absolutely. But what if God repeats something over and over and over again? The just shall live by faith. You can find that numerous times in Scripture. If I remember correctly, this statement about all the nations being blessed is repeated 7 times in the Scripture. Let's look. In Genesis 18:18, before the Lord destroyed Sodom, "And the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?'" Genesis 22:18, In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This took place after Abraham had obeyed God, being willing to trust God even to the point of seeing his own son die, surrendering his son. Now, when God told Abraham what to do, he knew his man. He knew what Abraham would choose. But he wanted that testimony there for us as well. There's a lot to be seen in that. I can't go into all of it, but notice that the blessing came through Abraham because of his obedience to God. "Because you have obeyed my voice, all nations will be blessed." Obedience is important. And obedience comes, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. The Lord speaks, whether in the scripture, to your heart, by the Spirit. However, the Lord speaks, you hear, and you obey. And it matters whether or not you obey. Because of his obedience, this blessing came through Abraham. And it was a faith-based obedience. It wasn't just, I don't get it, I don't understand, it doesn't make any sense to me, but I have to do it because he's God and I have to. No, God had said something to Abraham that he believed. In your seed. Let me go ahead and read this. "For in Isaac your seed shall be called." So what did Abraham know? God had said this great blessing is going to come through Isaac. He's my seed. And he knew that. And he knew God hadn't lied. And now God says, now I want you to give me your son. And so we read in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, by faith, Abraham, notice, by faith, he had heard something from God and he believed it. And he believed something beyond just, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my son. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding, God had said, in Isaac your seed will be called, offer him up. So he thought about it, and he came to a conclusion, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figurative sense. It was important for him to have listened when God said, in Isaac shall your seed be called. I have read and I've heard people dismiss much of Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy can get kind of convoluted and difficult to understand, and it's like, oh, I don't need that. And I believe it was Charles Spurgeon said something, and this is not even a good paraphrase, but, you know, John the farmer, or John the shoemaker needs to know how to live his everyday life and not those. Well, that means Brother Spurgeon thought a lot of what God said in the Bible just wasn't that important, and we didn't need to pay attention. How many are going to say amen to that one? I'm not. The Word of God is important, and Abraham's attention to and his faith in what God had foretold had an important and immediate impact on his life and further choices that he made, and it will do the same with ours as we lay hold of his Word. Well, again, we move on to repetition. Genesis 26, verses 4 and 5. This was actually spoken to Isaac. And it's God is echoing the promises that he gave to Abraham, because Isaac was in that line. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And then to the next generation, God said to Jacob in Genesis 28:14, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south. And in you shall all the families of the, in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up. Everybody was having, what is going on here? Peter stood up and he addressed it, but a part of what he said in Acts 3:25 was this. You are, speaking to the Jews, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in you your seed, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now I'll pause and ask a question. Do you know enough to know that Peter didn't really understand this promise? Over in Acts 10, it finally got through to him. You know, it's not just going to be us Jews who are going to go out there and do good things for people and bless people. We're going to be the ones. In Acts 10, he discovered, no, the Gentiles will be full partakers of the promise and the blessing that God offered and promised through Abraham. And so, yeah, he figured it out. But let me just ask a question. No need to raise your hand, because I hope everybody would raise their hand. How many of you think that God said this over and over and over because he wanted us to know this is important? In Abram's seed, all the nations, all the families of the earth will be blessed. He wanted to know how wide open the door of grace and welcome and the love of God has been flung so that people can just enter in. Let's read again Genesis 22:18. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And then I want you to notice, I've brought this out many times, but notice what Paul said in Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. The line of prophecy that I'll primarily be following, wherever possible, and I think we need to see some of the momentous national prophecies concerning Israel as we go, but the prophecies that have to do with redemption, God's plan of salvation, his purposes in Christ. And in dealing with God's word, whether it's prophecy or any other area, know that every word matters. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You keep studying the word of God and you find out things, like you find out, I've been saying bad things about Abraham all these years. It's not he had spoken and eventually Abraham got, you know, you keep studying the word of God and you find out more and more and more the words. The word, every word matters, and the word's meanings matter. The way God chooses to use those words matters. All these things are essential. And the implications of the vocabulary he uses are, it's, people miss it sometimes. I'll be talking later on about Jacob and how people carelessly translate the Bible to make Jacob look as bad as possible. But God doesn't speak carefully or carelessly. He speaks carefully, and we should listen carefully. And as we should expect, the words of prophecy that were spoken to Abraham and to his descendants are meant to be seen as references to Christ. Not just a nation, not just good stuff that was going to happen to the nation, not just a future for the nation, but promises concerning the blessings that come and come only through Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. They refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the case in all prophecy, and it's the case in all Scripture.